I can't imagine any other system that would be allowed to be implemented, managed, and run by the very industry that you're trying to watchdog.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Tim Winter, president of the Parents Television Council, or PTC, a nonpartisan media watchdog and education organization. Tim is going to be talking with us today about a new PTC report that analyzes the past 20 years of the TV content rating system, and which reveals that the rating system is really inadequate to protect children against the increasing amount of graphic sex, violence, and profanity on television today. Tim, welcome back to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you back with us on the program.
Oh, it's great to be back with you again, and greetings to you and your listeners from Hollywood, California.
Great. Well, Tim, as we begin, I want to just start with an introductory question that many of our listeners may have, which is, what is the TV content rating system? How did it come about, and what is it intended to do?
The TV content rating system is much like the motion picture rating system that parents have been using for many decades. It is intended to guide parents along in terms of making sure that what they consume in television programming is consistent with the values that that the family has. And the rating system came about in the mid-1990s. We're almost 20 years old now with the system. And it was really in response to an increasing level of concern by parents, by families, at the amount of edgy, explicit, and adult-themed television programming that was airing. And the Congress got behind the effort, and this was basically an agreement by the television industry to kind of call off the hounds, as it were, in Washington, D.C., to give them a little bit of political cover. By putting this content ratings system into place, it then allowed parents to make better choices. It also allowed them, with the advent of the technology component called the V-chip, which is installed in every TV set, it allows parents to program their TV sets to block content based on the content rating that they might feel is harmful or doesn't square up with their family values. So that's kind of the genesis of how the TV content rating system came about.
Let's talk about the PTC report, which does examine the last 20 years of the TV rating system. How was the report designed, and what specific information did you look into?
Yeah, here at the Parents Television Council, we have a trained staff led by a PhD researcher, and the staff records every hour of primetime broadcast television, all the different networks, and we record it digitally. And then we have analysts come in, our trained analysts come in the next morning to their workstations, and they review the content that aired on the previous evening. Basically, we have a very robust system here that allows us to track and then report on trends that we're seeing. And one of the trends that we have seen now for quite some time is that that the rating system is frequently inaccurate. When it's inaccurate, it's only inaccurate in one direction, and that's that they rate content too young.
Right.
Children that are too young, never too old. They never say, oh, this is bad for kids, even though it may be programmed for them. So the report was designed to really display in empirical data how things have happened over the last 20 years with this content rating system. Is it truly serving parents, as it was ostensibly put in place to do, or is it really giving political continued cover for the TV networks? And sadly, that's what we found.
Well, as you mentioned, the TV contents rating system is actually run by the TV networks themselves. This really does sound kind of like the fox guarding the hen house scenario. Would you consider that to be an accurate assessment? And can it really be relied upon by parents to truthfully portray the type of content that is contained in specific programs?
I think your analogy is perfect. This is the fox guarding the hen house. I can't imagine any other system to protect consumers from potential harm that would be allowed to be implemented, managed, and run by the very industry that you're trying to watchdog. And if the information that says, here's what's in this show that's potentially harmful, is entirely up to the producer of that product to disclose without any consequence of being inaccurate, I don't think we'd stand for that in any other type of industry or any other type of product, unfortunately. It is something that is an inherent conflict of interest, and the TV networks themselves decide what to rate the show. We have seen the same show in the past airing on two different networks. It was rated differently. We've seen the same show, the same episode, unedited, air on the same network, and they gave it two different ratings, once when it first aired and once when it repeated. So even the networks themselves seem either unable or unwilling to really make sure there is a consistency, a transparency, clarity in what this system really means.
Well, I know the Parents Television Council study found that there are increasingly fewer programs on TV that are rated PG. Talk about that a little bit. What kind of decrease have we seen in PG-rated programming, and why do you think that is?
It's a dramatic decrease, and it's not just PG, it's also the G-rated stuff. You know, parents think of G and PG-rated material as something that is almost always appropriate for their children to watch. And whether you think about a movie, you think G and PG goes back to the old Walt Disney days, you know Herbie the Love Bug or something, you know, Cars or Toy Story, things that you know that the kids can watch. But there is virtually, up until actually just the last few weeks, there had been no G-rated television shows on the air for several years. And it was just recently that NBC put a G-rated show series back on the air, and it's called Little Big Shots. And it's a reality show with Steve Harvey as the host. And what's interesting is the show's doing very well in the ratings. When you have something that really is family friendly, and it has good production values, good writing, and good directing and so forth, it tends to do very well successfully. So it's not both G and PG have been all but eliminated from the programming schedule. The reason why, I think, because there are so few people in Hollywood who think that's the cool, right thing to do, that there's really a market for that. Most people here in Hollywood feel that it's almost like a super peer group of producers who are always watching what the other guy is doing, and everybody's trying to outdo the other guy. And if one person has an edgy show, then the next person wants to be a little bit more edgy. And that's what they think of as success, rather than what's the biggest possible audience I can gather and make, you know, the network the most money with the advertisers. And unfortunately, the mentality here is that PG-rated stuff is not what people really want. But boy, when it's done right, the audience measurement devices sure suggest otherwise. They show that parents really do want something that they can watch together with their kids.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, in addition to the decrease in the number of PG-rated programs, from what I understand in the report, we're also seeing that between programs that are rated PG and those that are rated TV-14, there seem to be a less and less distinction between those. Aren't these ratings supposed to designate some pretty significant differences in terms of content? But actually, it seems like it's getting very, very muddled.
That's exactly right. It is muddled. And I believe it is intentional. I don't think that there's a true animus on the part of the networks in rating these things. What I do know is that those who rate the content of the program work for the same CEO who approved the edgy production of, graphic explicit content to begin with. And the higher the age rating, the older the age rating of the TV content, two things happen. A lot of parents say, well, I'm going to try to follow that guideline, and so I'm not going to allow my children to watch it. And then the other thing is that advertisers are a little bit squishy when it comes to explicit material and sponsoring it. So there is a double conflict of interest for the networks to rate things the way they really should be rated based upon the content. And what used to be wholly unacceptable for television is now acceptable, and then it becomes from acceptable to, well, we can put it on earlier. And then from earlier, it's like, well, we can probably rate it for kids. There seems to be a constant desensitization, not just with the audience, not just with the children who are watching this stuff, but also with the standards of an age rating. I think the network executives themselves are desensitized, and there's a creep on their part to rate things younger and younger. Now, I'm not, again, intentionally trying to hurt children, but I think they just become, immune to the stuff that they're supposed to be reading.
Sure. Perhaps, Tim, the most worrisome finding from the PTC report is that graphic content on television seems to be increasing significantly in frequency and intensity. Tell us about this finding and give us some examples, and let's keep it rated G or PG for our listeners, but some examples of the type of content that you were talking about.
Well, here's the irony in that it's difficult for me to make sure I'm respecting the audience I'm speaking to with G-rated content when we're talking about content that's adult-themed and explicit. We're talking about gruesome, horrific violence with, it used to be, back in the day, if there were violence on shown, there was always a consequence for it, and it was never shown in a graphic, gruesome, gory, blood-drenched kind of way, and that has now changed. You now have sexual conduct that perhaps was, back in the day, you'd see the light turn out in the bedroom, and then they'd go to a commercial or they'd go to some other scene. But now they keep the camera in the bedroom and they're showing all the stuff that's going on, and the profanity. And it's not just the profanity in how it's used. We're now even seeing children in the characters in the shows using the harsh profanity.
Mm-hmm,
so it is every type of content that that a parent or a grandparent or this is not just parents and grandparents. This is also people who have their own sensibilities about what they want to watch. And an awful lot of folks without children also feel the same about this content. That there's just too much of it. Sadly, what the report's showing, there's more of it, and it's increasing in amount. It's increasing in intensity, and it's now being rated as appropriate for children to consume.
Well, Tim, I know that the Parents Television Council is calling for reforms of the TV content rating system. What does this reform look like on a practical level, and what specific recommendations are you calling for?
What we're asking, first and foremost, is to make sure that we're building a choir, that we're all on the same page here, we're all singing off the same sheet, that the existing system is broken, it doesn't work, and it is only protecting the industry, not protecting children. You have in Washington, D.C., an oversight monitoring board that is supposed to make sure this content rating system is effective. The interesting thing is we've learned that the oversight monitoring board is comprised of TV network executives who are the same people who rate this content inaccurately to begin with. So imagine, if you would, a Wall Street, firm that is trying to rip people off, and then they get to a point who oversees the rules at the SEC. You have here a system that is at the very ground level is deceiving parents, and then the oversight monitoring board that is in charge of ensuring the accuracy of the system is every bit as fraudulent as the underlying system. So what we're calling for is for the existing system to be thrown out. We have a petition on our website, parentstv.org, and at parentstv.org you can sign the petition. You can take quizzes. You can see for yourself some of the misrated content, so that you don't just take our word for it. Take a look at the stuff that we're posting and showing you as rated as appropriate for children, when in fact it's not. So these are the things that we're calling on Americans to do from across the country, left, center, right, politically, every cultural divide. This impacts everybody, and so we're asking people to join the fight, lend your name to the petition, bring your voice with ours, and we're going to Washington, D.C., and we're calling on the FCC to throw out the existing system, and let's replace it with one that truly serves parents and is accountable to parents.
Great. Well, Tim, thanks for sharing that, because I know our listeners, after hearing this discussion, are likely wondering what can they do, and there are some very practical steps that they can take, and I want to encourage our listeners to do that. And with that, Tim Winter, I just want to thank you so much for all your great work. Thank you so much for your time, for being with us on Family Policy Matters, and we wish you and the Parents Television Council all the best.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.